Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard. They kind of got away from me a little bit, so we're a little bit later recording than I had initially planned, but I would be remiss if we did not start the show discussing the news that is kind of reverberating around the Mississippi State community today. Is legendary baseball broadcaster Jim Ellis will retire pretty much immediately. He will not be with us next season. Got the news yesterday that was going to happen, and you know, University was going to do a big presentation today, and I think they've done a wonderful job. It won't be the same. And I want to share a few things with you. I wrote a column last night. I laid in bed for a while and just kind of contemplated what it all meant, and I just wanted to share a little bit about my interactions with Jim over the years. I consider Jim Ellis a friend. I've been on his show many times, and I have had the opportunity to interview him about big moments in Mississippi State baseball and other sporting events. And I remember him telling me prior to the 2014 Egg Bowl, like as great as that year had been with us going to number one, that the year would be incomplete if we didn't have a win over Ole Miss to cap the season. And of course, it didn't go the way we wanted to, but you know, Jim is a guy that has loved Mississippi State his entire life, and it's interesting. You know, you get a chance. You know, road baseball is like my favorite thing. Like, I love covering road baseball; it's so much fun. And so, you know, I get a chance to visit with Jim a lot. I always made that pilgrimage every single time when I would get to the press box and go say hello to Jim, and sometimes compare notes, you know, about kind of what's going on. But one day we had the discussion about how he got the job at Mississippi State. Yeah, you don't think about that stuff, right? I mean, things today can be so convoluted. Times were a lot simpler back then. And it's so interesting. Now, Mississippi State Baseball was looking for a baseball voice. And so somebody had put some tapes together for Jim. And the hiring process went just like this. Someone played the tape of Jim Ellis to Ron Polk. And after hearing just a couple of minutes, Polky said, okay, he'll do. That's how it went down. It was just that simple. He didn't meet with Polk. He didn't go over any of that stuff. Didn't have a formal interview. Polky heard the audition tape and said, he'll do. And to hear Ellis tell the story, he just kind of grins. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, being in the right place at the right time, but also to having the right voice. And Jim has been so incredibly special to all of us. To all of us. And it'll be different. It will. It'll be different. But we wish Jim the best in his retirement. You know, Jim hung in here a lot longer than I think than people expected. You know, when they named the radio broadcast booth after Jim Ellis at Duty Noble Field, we were kind of counting down the days. You know, so, you know, and then you kind of get used to people being around and you think they're going to stay forever. But it's the end of an era. And it's difficult, and I'll be honest with you, it's been emotional at times. When I see these videos that pop up on Health State, I got to watch them, you know. But it was the soundtrack of our lives, and for those of us that love Mississippi State baseball, and you forget, you know, Jim was the play-by-play guy for many years for Mississippi State men's basketball, and of course, you know, provided some color at times with the legendary Jack Crystal. But you know, we have lost an icon. Now, I say we've lost him. Jim's still going to be around. We just won't hear him doing the games anymore. And, you know, some have said, hey, maybe Jim's lost a step the last couple of years. I mean, goodness, man, he did it for, what, 45 years? Yeah, we're all going to fade a little bit. But, you know, I don't know that you guys can fully appreciate what a good person Jim Ellis is. And I remember last year, watching him be enshrined in the Ron Polk Ring of Honor, how he was almost embarrassed. But he's so incredibly deserving. And I had a chance. I didn't get a chance to come to the Q&A session that day. We had some other things going on. And I pulled him aside when I got back to the ballpark. And I said, hey, Jim, I just want to tell you how much you deserve this and how much it pleases all of us that your name is going in. And he was so incredibly grateful for that honor. And then so many of you on social media and just in casual conversation were like, yeah, this is the right thing to do. And so I would like to publicly show my gratitude to Saunders Ramsey and everybody involved with the Ron Polk Ring of Honor community for doing that last year. And Jim had some girls, and of course he's got one special girl that he's loved for many, many years. And it's just so interesting, you know, that he had, all daughters. And you hear him say, he missed so many things. He missed so many Easters and Mother's Day celebrations and things like that. Calling games for all of us. Painting the picture of Mississippi State sports for all of us. And so I'm sure there's some times that he's probably felt guilty about that. And I think that's one of the things that we often forget. You know, as fans, we forget that these people are humans and they have people that love them and people that make sacrifices right along with them. But it is so special to think that in my lifetime that I've had the chance to hear and get to know Jack Crystal before his passing, and of course to know Jim Ellis for so many years. And people say, hey, Jim Ellis is Mississippi State baseball, and that's certainly high praise. You think about he and Ron Polk sharing the booth, and I'm sure at times that's been a little bit quirky, shall we say. But it's a different day and time, about what's to come. But today is about Jim. And I think about how many times you almost take it for granted, right, that people are going to be there forever. And, we have the introduction video at Dirty Noble Field, and I can hear Jim saying, "Look out, Omaha, here comes this Bulldog team." And thinking about the McNamee home run against Florida State, I don't know if anybody was more surprised than Jim Ellis with McNamee hits that walk-off to eliminate Florida State from their home regional. And that's the year we ended up going to Omaha. And it's been so fun over the years to just kind of visit with Jim and ask him about teams. What do you think the biggest moment here? What's the biggest moment? Who do you think is the best third baseman? That kind of stuff. And it wasn't just a job for Jim. It was a passion for Jim. And that's why he did it so long, is because he loved it so much. And he loved your players. He loved your coaches. And he loved all of you. And he still does. But I think it's important for us to again, take a moment and kind of recognize the greatness that we have experienced throughout our life. I mean, Jim took over when I was 7 years old. Here I am in my early 50s. It's incredible to think about that somebody could stay anywhere for over 40 years. And somebody reminded me today, Auburn tried to steal Jim away years and years ago, but he elected to stay here. And some people just couldn't believe it. Why wouldn't he go to Auburn? It's because Jim Ellis is a Bulldog. Jim Ellis has given his life and his talents to Mississippi State and to make the Mississippi State experience better for all of us. And I'll miss seeing him around. He says he'll still be at the ballpark and he'll come sit in the stands. And I'm sure whoever replaces him, and there's a lot of talk, it'll be Neil Price, will do a great job, but it'll be different. It'll be different. And I think, too, what pressure falls to Neil Price, following a legend like that. But you know what? If anybody's up for the job, I think it's Neil. Of course, he followed Jack Crystal as well, does a great job for us. I rarely get a chance to listen to the official football and basketball broadcast, but more times than not, when I do, it's the basketball broadcast. And Neil does such an amazing job painting the picture. So I'm sure we'll be in good hands. Don't get me wrong in that respect at all, but I will miss seeing Jim Ellis at the ballpark. It's so interesting, too. Jim is a lot like me about the lineups. Like, I want to get the lineup as soon as possible so I can go ahead and get the story out, get the lineups out for you guys, and get something to eat before the ball game starts. And in recent years, we have kind of changed the way we do it. Like, we kind of wait to the last minute to do it. I don't know why we do it. I'm sure there's a reasoning behind it. I know they always say, hey, you have until an hour before game time to change your lineup. And I get that aspect of it, but very rarely does that ever happen. But Jim at times would get a little impatient. Jim's got, a way of doing things, and it's so remarkable, all the statistics and all the notes and things that he has. I mean, just habits that he's developed over the years of being the Bulldog baseball broadcaster. And Jim would come to Pressure O sometimes, and he'd be asking about a lineup, and he would just kind of stay there almost agitated until he got one. Not that he ever fussed or complained, but you could always tell it was just, he couldn't start his final game prep until he had that. And I'd love to be able to see all the books that he kept over the years and things of that nature. That's the history of our program, guys. I mean, it really is. So thank you, Jim Ellis. And thank you to Jim Ellis family for sharing him with us for over four decades. We're grateful. We are internally grateful for the job that Jim Ellis has done for Mississippi State. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show, and I love them too. And the cool thing about that is I know exactly what to expect. You know, sometimes you go eat somewhere new and you're like, well, I don't know what to order. I don't know what I feel like today. What's good here? What can I expect from the service? What do they have for dessert? There is a consistency with Bulldog Burger Company that was pretty much unmatched. And that they do make some changes to the menu, but the quality never changes. It doesn't matter what they introduce. It's always grand. It's true. It's interesting. You know, my youngest, Ian, works at Bulldog Burger Company. And he said just the other day, this guy just kind of randomly said, after he paid his check, he goes, well, and all this thanks to Steve Robertson. So it's clearly a Boneyard listener. Means a lot to me that you guys go in there and frequent that business. I don't do business with people that I don't trust. And I don't do business with people that I don't believe would do a great job for you. That's exactly what you're going to get at Bulldog Burger Company. An exemplary experience with incredible service, incredible selection, incredible consistency, integrity in pricing. So if you're looking out for a night out with friends, a night out with family, a business luncheon, Bulldog Burger Company should be your destination. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer that will make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake, perhaps that bread pudding to go. You'll be glad you did. You can ride that ride home with a smile, and then when you have to get up at night with that little sweet tooth, you've already got a great restaurant quality dessert at your disposal. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. All anybody wants to talk about right now is portal. And so I shared with you guys Monday evening, I really felt like that Luke Kromenhock was going to be a Bulldog. He announced yesterday morning that he is a Bulldog. This is a huge portal win for Mississippi State. I would liken this, and of course, take off your blinders a little bit, okay? This is the biggest portal win I think we've had since Mike Leach got KJ Costello. Now, Costello, of course, didn't pan out the way we wanted to after that LSU ball game. It just never kind of came together after that. But at the time, it was a very, very significant portal win for us. I would put this on par with that. And the fact that he has multiple years of eligibility to work with, I think that is very significant. As I shared with you guys on Monday, quarterbacks don't play a lot of games. And what I mean by that is when it comes to recruiting, they just don't play a lot of games. The portal guys, it's a business decision. They're ready to get things done, get to work, and help kind of build the class. So Luke Kromenhock now, a Mississippi State Bulldog. He is rated as a 94 on a transfer, one of the top-rated transfer prospects in the portal. Rated a 97 out of high school. That's a 247 sports composite. So you a very, 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 very highly recruited quarterback, held in very high esteem. So there we go. So now you have eight portal commitments. Of course, Luke Kromenhock, offensive lineman Jesse Ramil from James Madison. Dad played at Alabama, Michael. Brother Stanton was the guy that we recruited a couple years ago, lost him to Michigan State. Speaking of Michigan State, wide receiver Jerron Glover. He is the long commitment we have not been able to catch up with. Looks like he's having some phone issues. We've tried. But interesting. Brennan Thompson spoke to him today. And if you're a JeansPage.com subscriber, I think I actually made that article free. Yeah, anybody can read that. Yeah, so Brennan Thompson kind of going to play the KC role for us, kind of the Kevin Coleman role for us. They're about the same size. And Brennan might actually be as fast or maybe a click faster than KC, and that's saying a lot. A lot of people talk about Brennan Thompson, you know, it's a great straight line sprinter. Rated as a 94 out of high school, he's rated as an 87 as a transfer. And I think the fact that he missed so much time in 2023, because so many people just look at statistics, he missed half the year in 2023. So his production was down a little bit, and then I don't know how you could blame anything, you know, on any offensive player at Oklahoma. I had to take a break there because we had a write-up new transfer portal commitment. That's Darian Gallet, linebacker from the University of Texas. So now Mississippi State up to 9 commitments in the portal. Jeff Lebby said it was going to be about 15. I suspect it goes a little bit over that. I just, you know, based on the traffic and the news out there, you know, we got to get a center, got to get a couple D tackles, got to get a DB or two, got to get a wide receiver, running back. You start doing the math there, I think we're going to come up a little bit north of 15. So let me break down Darian Gallet for you. Just off the phone with him, you can read that story for free over at jeanspage.com. Awfully, awfully excited to get him. We had some news. If you're a subscriber to jeanspage.com, you found out this morning that things were brewing with Darian Gallet. But nevertheless, great, great get there for us. 6'3", 235-pound backer. He tells me he's going to play the linebacker spot. Now, out of high school, he was a 4-star prospect from Teague High School out there in Texas. So it made sense. You know, he was a 94 composite. Yeah, significant, significant. Now, it hasn't really translated so far. He redshirted in 23 and played in a couple of games this year. So looking for a career reset. But, guys, he had 28 offers out of high school. And just kind of recapping some of these. Texas, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Auburn, Florida. Of course, Mississippi State then too. North Carolina, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, USC, and many others. So one of the things that we hear a lot, you know, we may take a player that's kind of an ascending guy from the G5, and people will say, yeah, Steve, you know, where are the Power 5 guys? And, you know, my answer to that's always been, I don't really like the Power 5 reject, but when you get a guy that's young, it's only got a couple years of experience under his belt, I'm more inclined to take that guy. I don't want the cast off from an SEC program that has 1 year left to play. Gallet tells me he's eager to kind of show people what he can do and prove that he can play in the SEC. I like guys with something to prove. I do. And this is a Coleman Hutzler get. Coleman's kind of been beat up by a lot of people. But this is a guy that he recruited when he was at Alabama, had a pre-existing relationship, and that paid some dividends for Mississippi State. So, again, now 9 commitments, and just kind of working through here, we talked about Nevaeh Sanders coming in from Northern Illinois. He is a pass rushing specialist, not an every down player, but a guy that we believe can get out there at the 7 technique and kind of rip and run and chase a quarterback. Guys, there were so many times last year we could not even impact the quarterback. We couldn't even flush the quarterback or force him to step up in the pocket. I mean, we've got to do things to make quarterbacks uncomfortable. So Sanders makes a lot of sense for me when you think about how incredibly bad our pass rush was last year. We'll have an article up in just a little bit with Red Hibbler. He wrapped up his official visit to Mississippi State today. Of course, he's already a signee, so no breaking news there. And, of course, Jerron Manning, who I think is a great get. I know some other people are like, oh, Stevie's coming from Old Dominion. Well, yeah. Yeah, go look at the Pro Football Focus numbers. You know, and go look at his statistics. I mean, this guy was very, very active. This is a guy out of Brother Martin in New Orleans by way of Colin Community College that has done some big things this year for the Monarchs. And we think he'll come in and do some things for us. And then cornerback Javen Williams of Kennesaw State was the first commitment. But again, kind of working through here, again, for those of you that, hey, I would prefer to get highly recruited Power 4 players. Well, now you've got Gallet, Cronhawk, Jerron Glover, Brennan Thompson, Red Hibbler. So 5 of your 9 coming from the Power 4. Pretty significant, right? I also spoke to Andarius Coffey today, former quarterback at Winona High School. He wrapped up his official visit to state today as well. Picked up the offer. He is a very intriguing guy. I was a big fan of his out of high school. I just wasn't sure where he fit on the next level. Because he played quarterback at Winona. So he was kind of like the best athlete, so they put him there. But he's a guy, his dad's a military guy. If you look at him, he's very well put together. You know, has the high and tight haircut. I joke with him a little bit, and I say, hey, I see you're still wearing the high and tight. I guess dad's keeping you in line, hon. He just kind of laughed and said, yeah, something like that. But this is a guy that played running back at Memphis. He's played defensive back. Some people project him as a corner. He's played some at safety. Guys, in the last 3 years, you talk about like G5 guys, In three seasons, he's played 36 games. 36, you know, played extensively as a true freshman, missed 21 with an injury, and then played 22, 23, and 24. And so, of course, he has the COVID year. The 20 year doesn't count against him. So he has 1 year left to play. And we talk about culture a lot when we speak about sports. I think it's important to understand, you know, you want to bring in guys, you want to get rid of your headaches and bring in guys that aren't going to create new ones for you. And I think that that's a guy that may do that. I'm eager to see what happens with him. He takes the official visit at Northwestern tomorrow. I don't know how much State pushed to commit today. He was a guy obviously that knows Matt Barnes from his time at Memphis. And some of our people on the board are like, are we just going to take all the Memphis defensive backs? Well, you know, maybe we will. Diego Brumfield is a guy, too, that basically redshirted this year. You know, he's banged up a little bit, made a couple good plays for us, made that big pick at the goal line against Georgia. Basically, if we'd played him in the Egg Bowl, he would have been ineligible to return. His football career would likely be over. We didn't play him in the Egg Bowl. He is expected back next year. And, you know, Trey's a guy, too, that you know, missed the year with injury. And so, you know, we got some guys out there that we're still expecting some big things from. But probably going to see another DB or two added to this class. Could Coffee be one of them? I think that's possible. You know, we'll see. And right now, Mississippi State's transfer class is ranked sixth in the country. What's interesting about that is you've got, two guys that haven't been rated yet, and Gallette being one of them. And so, you know, hey, I never expected State to sign the top-rated quarterback or portal class in the country. But if we could, you know, stay somewhere in top 15 or so, I think we'd feel pretty good about the haul. Of course, some teams are going to sign more than others. Other teams have fewer needs and have more players returning than we do. But somebody asked me on the radio, it's like, is it going to be a 25 for 25 thing? Are we going to, you know, we had, you know, 25 guys hit the portal, we add 25? Well, no, because you're not going to have room in a scholarship allocation for that because you've got 25 signees coming in too. And so as it stands right now, you have 34 new Bulldogs expected to be here within the next few months, many of them in January. And so, again, probably going to end up being around 40 players. So basically in 2 years, we talk about flipping a roster. You're going to have, last year had over 40 new Bulldogs. You're going to have about 40 again this year. And you only got 85 on scholarship. And so it's going to be a completely new roster again next year for the most part. But I think it's important to understand, I do think we're getting some good gets. I do think we'll probably end up taking some G5 guys on the defensive line. The argument that I would make is many of those guys are probably better than what we played with last year. And that's not to be difficult. You know, Kyle McLennan's a guy that gave you everything you wanted, but he had to play before he was ready because of all the, you know, the attrition and injuries that we had. You know, we dismissed Eric Taylor. You know, you lose Calvin Dinkins the first game of the year for the second year in a row. Craziness, right? It's a big part of things. Gabe Moore, of course, lose him to a non-football related medical issue. You can start just running through the numbers here. I mean, you know, then you lose Kedrick Bingley-Jones, a guy we signed out of the portal, and he's a guy that even in North Carolina didn't have a ton of production. But we felt like he was going to be a contributor for us. We lose him in the Florida game. So you get five games out of those four guys, and that's basically your two deep. And then we have to play Corey Clark, you know, a guy that we signed out of junior college in June. You know, you go get him because he's a big body guy. He's a depth piece. We ended up having to play that guy. So we're going to, you know, if we go get, you know, go get that, you know, D-tackle from Johnny Williams from Northern Illinois at 300 pounds, already you're ahead of the game from what you had last year. And again, I like the ascending player rather than the
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Ascending player. So some things left to do, but some things to feel good about. You know, and that's the thing I think this fan base needs more than anything else. It's just something to feel good about. You know, you want to be excited about football. You know, the Jackson-Arnold thing didn't go the way that many of us hoped. It certainly didn't go the way that so many people projected. And I think in many respects, that's kind of a disservice to Mississippi State folks, because the truth of the matter is, I never know who people are talking to, but I know who I'm talking to. And I can tell you that my sources, basically from Thursday on, were this kid's going to Auburn. And many of you, you get excited about it, and you're like, oh, this is great. Be a great way to kick off the portal. The first day of the portal, we find out this guy's coming. And it really wasn't rooted in anything factual. And that's the thing, you kind of go back and look, and I think it really, it's not fair to Mississippi State, and it's not fair to Jeff Lebby and his staff, because they didn't convey the expectation that Jackson Arnold was coming. It wasn't like they were out there leaking this information to people in the media. And then even when the facts of it began to come out, people can continue to double down. And so I hope that you'll remember that as you kind of move forward on, you know, kind of who to trust when it comes to this. But immediately people are like, oh, we're so bad at portal recruiting. I give you another example. Like DT Sheffield today announced a commitment to Rutgers. Do you really believe if he could have committed to Arkansas or Mississippi State, he would have committed to Rutgers? I mean, honest to goodness, I think DT Sheffield is a really good player. But it was never really serious between Mississippi State and DT Sheffield. And I see people out there saying, oh my gosh, we lost another one. We don't lose what we don't chase. You know, I can't lose a race that I never start. And that's the case here. And then there are some people out there that are so incredibly desperate for attention and clicks and engagement that they'll tell you these things at Mississippi State's expense. Now, I'll call it like it is, but I'm going to be honest with you. In a situation like this, I just feel like I'm probably better informed. Have you seen me do an interview with DT Sheffield? No, you haven't. You haven't. And it's because of the fact I thought there's a better use of my time. I can be working the phones and talking to agents and talking to people in our industry and talking to coaches around the country and things like that to get information about these kids. Why would I waste my time on a guy that I don't believe is going to be at Mississippi State for one reason or another? You know, the guy's taking an actual official visit. We're going to do our best to reach out to and recap the visit for you guys so you can kind of know what they've had to say, what they're going to say, what they're expecting when they come to Mississippi State. But the reality of it is, it goes back like the baseball portal stuff too. And I get aggravated about this because it's Mississippi State that picks up the tab. And it's not fair. All of a sudden, one of our coaches goes and follows a kid on Twitter, and people think, oh, we're really chasing this guy. And we may have just followed him on Twitter to get him to engage with us and just kind of see, hey, where things sit, what are you looking for, that kind of stuff. Kind of getting to know them a little bit. I mean, did you propose to every girl you ever asked out on a date? Didn't make a lot of sense to me. And then all of a sudden, people want to act like we got it rejected. And in many of those cases, we didn't even offer them a scholarship. We didn't even offer them a roster spot. We even had some guys that we'd bring in on visits. That's not to say we got them all. We didn't. But there are other guys you bring in on visits, especially on the football side. You'll bring a guy in, and maybe he's not as big as he looks on film. And when you think about how bad that our offensive and defensive line play was this year, we've got to get bigger at the line of scrimmage. So we can't go out there and just recruit more of what we have. It's just like the Kevin Otis thing. You know, people were all up in arms because Kevin Otis was rated as a 4-star. And I thought that was a little bit ambitious even then when we thought we were going to get him because he is a little short-limbed. You know, he's basically Kyle McClendon in many respects. He just got more experience. And so he commits to Arkansas, and people are like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that David Turner lost this guy. You know, the reality of it is we got to just take our beating there. But I don't think taking Kevin Otis makes us a better football team next year. He may down the road. You know, he may go in the portal at some point. We may go recruit him, maybe bring him home. But we've got to go out and sign players this year that make us a better team next year. And there's not going to be a lot of high school players that are going to have that kind of ability to make an impact this year. So you go get some junior college guys. You go get some guys out of the portal. And, you know, Jeff Lebby has shown that he's not scared to play freshman wide receivers. We played four of them this year. You know, and so that's an aspect of this, a thing that I think that really matters, is that if you're going to play a younger guy, it's probably at a skill position. I mean, Xavier Gayton's a guy, the most explosive running back we had, and you saw how limited the carries it was that he received this year. Well, it's because of the fact that he had to learn how to play the position. He was essentially a Wildcat quarterback in high school. So you got to learn. You got to find the steps. There's a lot of nuance with all this. Also, kind of bringing some things around here. Chris Parson is now headed to Austin Peay, and that's probably a surprise to some people. It's a little bit of a surprise to me too, because I thought he would probably land somewhere in the G5. I didn't think he would end up at Austin Peay. And so a few things that I'll say about that. I love Chris Parson. I think Chris Parson is a fabulous person. I think he has a lot of ability, has a big arm. There were some people in our industry, even before he committed to Mississippi State, that were a little bit non-committal about him. They thought, well, we'll see, And from the very beginning, some people were like, well, Jeff Lebby is very, very high on Chris Parson. And I don't think it's fair to speak on behalf of Jeff Lebby. You let Jeff do that. You don't go out there and say, hey, well, it's one thing if you quote him in an article, but just to attribute comments like that to him. And it was pretty apparent from the very first moments of camp that Jeff Lebby preferred Michael Van Buren to Chris Parson. I know that didn't match the narrative, but then when you see how the season played out, once Blake Chapin went down, if he'd had the confidence in Chris Parson, who was a redshirt freshman, to run the offense, he would have gone with him. But he went with the true freshman, Michael Van Buren, who did some good things for us. And I'm sure he's going to do some good things at LSU. But sometimes, as the facts play out in a case, it makes us kind of go back and question kind of what was reported and what we were hearing at the time. And again, I think it goes back to who you trust. Sometimes people want to say things because they think it's going to make them sound good or get an engagement. People sometimes accuse me of that. It's not true. But people think, hey, you're just saying this to make yourself look good. I mean, just like I had some other day, all upset about the Tyler Lockhart stuff. Guys, I told the truth. I'm not in the public relations firm at Mississippi State. Mississippi State didn't give me a dime to go out here and promote this stuff. It's true. I cover Mississippi State, and I'm going to tell you the truth. And when we do something silly, I'm going to tell you we do something silly. Mississippi State didn't do anything silly in the Tyler Lockhart situation. It's a very messy situation because of how it unfolded. But I go back to the whole thing, and there's some more things I could say about this that probably aren't ready for public consumption yet. But the plan for months was for Tyler Lockhart to play with TJ and Fat Clark at Mississippi State. And some, again, Pete Golding, the guys from Ole Miss, got in, kind of made it a little bit confusing for the kid. It's a very impressionable young man. The next thing you know, things get a little bit confusing. And that's what good recruiters do. They confuse the situation. You want to make people second guess themselves and start asking themselves, hey, is this the right move for me? And so, listen, I tip of the cap to Pete Golding for making that thing interesting. But at the end of the day, where did he sign? He signed with Mississippi State, which is the program that he'd been committed to, and even committed privately for months prior to the public proclamation. And I think that was probably some gamesmanship on the behalf of Mississippi State. It's like, hey, let's save this commitment for later in the year when we may need to get some juice. We may need some good PR. Makes good sense to me too. Right? But he was committed to Mississippi State basically since he took the visit to Mississippi State. And maybe you didn't know that. And again, people tend to have a tendency to remember what they hear last rather than what makes sense. People are like, and I'm going to say this, and you can take it for what you want. It's not going to be any skin off my back. But we have some people within our fan base that need to understand we do not need the approval of Ole Miss about anything. What they have to say is simply not important. Hey, go do your thing over there. You know what? You're going to get some recruits. You're going to win some games against us from time to time. And you guys are in a much better situation than we are right now football-wise. And anybody that says otherwise, not being honest. But I don't need the approval of any Ole Miss people. And I'm not going to have any lectures from any Ole Miss people on how to act. And to be honest with you, people talk about getting offended. I get offended by that. I get offended that some of our fans think that somehow we need Ole Miss people to give us some words of affirmation to feel good about Mississippi State football. I don't require that. Their opinion means nothing to me. The dirt on the bottom of my Chuck Taylors is more important than the opinions of rival fans. And that's not being mean-spirited or even in a spirit of rivalry. But the reality of it is I'm a Mississippi State-centric person. I want what's best for Mississippi State. I want Mississippi State to win. And I don't need an Ole Miss person to tell me that we're good at something or that we've done something good to give me essentially permission to feel that way. We got to get that out of the fan base. I don't care what they say, and nor should you. It simply doesn't matter. It's like, well, you know how this thing played out? Guys, it is what it is. It is what it is. And if you think I'm not going to sit here and tell you the truth about that, you're kidding yourself. You don't know me. I'm going to tell you the truth. I mean, how many times did I say it this year? Like when people were, the defense was a very popular whipping bag this year. And rightfully so. But how many games did we have, as Jeff Lebby says, or we didn't play complimentary football, when the defense did give us some stops and we couldn't put points on the board? So to put it all on the defense is to be short-sighted. We got problems on both sides of the line of scrimmage. We just happen to have more problems on defense. But you know what? The reason the Golden Egg is still in Oxford, Mississippi, is because of our offense. Because of now the LSU quarterback. And maybe you don't like that, but that's the truth. Some of our folks, you see these kids on TV and you follow them on social media and you think you know them. You don't. You don't. They're telling how many points we left on the board. At least 21 points in the Egg Bowl on throws that we missed. Plays we didn't see. That's an aspect of it that I don't think people fully appreciate. You know, and of course, you know, the old defensive mindset is, you know what? Defensively, we got to hold their offense to less points than our defense, than our offense is going to score. So it's a team game. But we lost the Egg Bowl because of our offense. You score 14 points in the first quarter. You have the ball twice after defensive stops with a chance to go up two scores and really quiet things down in Oxford. And we couldn't get it done. And there was one route, if you go back, I don't know if you can see it, maybe go back and look at the the bird's eye view camera. It was a big sack that we took. We run the wheel route to Booth. Guys, he is four steps behind the defender. All we got to do is lay it up there. He is going to stroll into the end zone. Instead, we don't turn it loose and we take a sack basically into drive. You know, so it is what it is. But a lot of times people don't like to hear how it is. They want to be told, you know, hey, this is makes me feel better, so tell me this. You know, and it's amazing to me the absolute nonsense that people will believe as long as it feeds the echo chamber in which they exist, allows them to continue to be invested in their own false narrative. It's true. So you can take that for what it's worth. You know, makes no difference to me. I just know that it's true. And so when I begin to think about what's next for Mississippi State, I'm focused on Jeff Lebby, this staff, this team, and I'm not worried about the opponents. Matter of fact, I quit worrying about the opponents. When Blake Shapen went down, I said, this season is over. You know, my hope is we can get some experience for some guys and kind of move forward. And then you're like, well, maybe Blake will be back next year. And people forget Blake Shapen did some good things for us this year. And there were some plays that he missed too. But there's a reason Jeff Lebby went out and recruited him. And when I think about this quarterback room moving forward, I think having Kromenhock here, number one, I don't think he just signed to come redshirt. This is a guy that's going to come in and compete and push Blake, and that's going to be good too. And also puts us in a situation that if we do have a scenario where Blake goes down, you've got somebody with experience. So I think we're in a much better situation. So you basically have replaced Michael Van Buren with a guy the same age, maybe a little bit better skill set, a little bit better size. But if we had Mike back, we'd feel good about that, right? I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'd prefer Kromenhock. Well, I think I'd rather prefer Michael Van Buren because he has a year of reps under Jeff Lebby. If I'm picking between the two, give me the guy that's been here for a year, that knows his teammates, that knows the offense and knows the scheme. Now, Luke's got the benefit of spring to come in here and kind of get up to speed. But, hey, that would be three semesters for Michael Van Buren in the Jeff Lebby system. Experience is the best teacher. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, we upgraded. I don't know that we did. I think we did, but I don't know that. But at the very least, we have replaced a true sophomore with a true sophomore and a very highly recruited guy that has some real ability. And we'll see how things go as we move forward. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Close with Blair. It's time for the top 10 list, closewithblair.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Absolutely love Blair. He is a guy that does an amazing job. You know, they don't tell you when you're young a lot of things you need. There's some things in the mama and daddy job description that nobody tells you about. And one of those is you need a mortgage guy. You need, or gal, no matter which way you go. We're not going to discriminate. But Blair Chandler is a guy that's been doing this 24 years. You need to get his expertise and know-how working for you to help get you in your first home, your next home, or your retirement home. He is a Bulldog through and through, has a season ticket holder in multiple sports, plays here in Starkville. Nobody stays in any industry 20-plus years by accident. Blair is a winner and a closer. Get that pre-qualification letter. It'll make your life a whole lot easier because you know, hey, we find a house in this price range, we're good to go, right? Simple as that. Give him a call or text today at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. That's closewithblair.com. Okay. I told you guys on Monday, I got a list today. It may hurt some feelings. And one of these songs is not on Spotify, unfortunately, because they're a foreign band. And there's a connection there, too. But you guys know I'm not a Nirvana fan. Maybe you're new to the show. I'm not a Nirvana fan. I think Nirvana got way more credit than they deserved. Nirvana wasn't even the best band in Seattle. I don't even think they were the best band on their street. But, yeah, when I think about the Seattle sound, I think more Alice in Chains and Soundgarden than Pearl Jam. And some people say Pearl Jam is the quintessential band of the 90s. I think all of those bands were superior to Nirvana. And I don't think it's close. Now, you are welcome to disagree. I know many of you get your feelings hurt when I talk poorly of Nirvana. I get it. And I'm perfectly okay with one of us being wrong. And there are a lot of people I know that love Nirvana. And even though their lyrics make absolutely no sense whatsoever, some people, it speaks to people. I guess if I listen to you, you'd think, yeah, Steve, it just doesn't do it for me. And that's okay. It's okay. But here, it's, I told you it's Nirvana week. And so today, on Monday, we had songs with Nirvana in the title. A little bit of a joke with myself, I guess. Today, we're going to do top 10 songs ripped off by Nirvana. Did you not know about this? I mean, there's a whole community discussions about this, about all the bands and songs that Nirvana ripped off. So you may recall that Kurt Cobain got basically his start in music as basically being a roadie for the Melvins. He's a big fan of the Melvins, and by his own admission, they kind of ripped off the Pixies and the Melvins and people like that. We don't have a Pixie song on the show. And right now, I know some of you are seething. You're seething. It's okay. But there's a song called It's Shoved by the Melvins that basically is, there's a Nirvana cover version basically called Milk It. And it's, you go back, the chord structure is the same. It's all very, very similar. A great track called An Invitation from a band called Fang. And if you don't know them, maybe you should. If you like this brand of music, if you like Nirvana, I would encourage you to go back and listen to some of these bands that clearly were an influence on Kurt and the band. But An Invitation sounds an awful lot like Aneurysm. And of course, the Nirvana tracks came out after these other ones. So there's a lot of people that point to these and say, hey, that doesn't sound right. Making their Boneyard Top 10 debut, it's the Butthole Surfers. And they had a track called Barbecue Pope. And the chorus of that sounds an awful lot like the chorus on Heart-Shaped Box, which is one of the best Nirvana songs. And I've seen some other people kind of, you know, that are a little more technically proficient in music that say, yeah, there's some chord structure here that kind of matches this and matches that. But when you listen to Barbecue Pope from the Butthole Surfers, when they get to the chorus, you're going to think, hey, I've heard this before. And you have. All right, number seven. Another band from the Seattle sound. And there's some podcasts out there where the guys from Mudhoney have talked about this. how Nirvana basically ripped off a couple tracks from them. The one that we're going to go with is Mudhoney's Need, and the guitar and everything with that sounds a lot like Rape Me from Nirvana. There we go. Number six, and this is one of the most egregious examples, I think. It's a band called Wipers, and the track is called Potential Suicide. If you've listened to Nirvana and you know the song Breed, when you turn this thing on from Wipers, you're going to be like, holy smokes. It's just so obvious. Another incredibly similar track. It's from the Foreskins. Yeah, weird names, right? On the Streets is the name of the song. And if you know the song Polly, yeah, Polly Wants a Cracker, it's basically the same thing. It's like they just kind of change the tempo a little bit. And, you know, Kurt couldn't pull off the hammer-ons on the guitar, so they just kind of made it their own and changed the lyrics. All right, number four. Some friends of mine recently went and saw Zebra. I know many of you remember Zebra, based out of New Orleans. Them and Lillian Axe, probably the biggest rock acts to come from the New Orleans area. And incredibly, this is one that I didn't really know. I did my research, and I was like, I saw some people like on Reddit and other discussion forums talking about the comparisons. So Zebra had a song called Don't Walk Away, and I don't know how Kurt Cobain knew about Zebra. Maybe he got the Columbia House thing and bought the Zebra album. But if you listen to Don't Walk Away from Zebra and then listen to Been a Son by Nirvana, it's pretty close. It is. It's not as close as Polly and On the Streets and Breed, but it's close. All right, number three. Now, you're not going to be able to find this on Spotify, but there's a band out of Croatia, which is where Chris Novoselic was born. The band is called Hrast, H-A-H-R-A-S-T. And there's a song they did called Pavini Valchak. You can find it on YouTube and you can listen for yourself. And it is obvious that they lifted this for About a Girl. Obviously, they lifted this. And of course, they thought, hey, nobody's going to know this band from Croatia, so we'll just take it. And it's clear they did. One of the songs, and if memory serves me correct, there was actually litigation about this. And this is going to be one of those, when you hear it, you're going to be like, it's unmistakable, Steve. It's true. A band called Killing Joke had a great track called 80s. And then Nirvana kind of slowed it down a little bit and called it Come As You Are. Big hit, right? When you listen to this Killing Joke 80s track and you're a Nirvana fan, I think you're going to look at them a lot differently. This is obvious plagiarism. It's not even close. It's not even, well, Steve, they were influenced. No, they ripped them off. But number one, and I had never heard this until recently, and this is what got me thinking about doing this list. Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins, who I love. Many of you in the WWE ranks, you love him too, you know, because Billy was involved in wrestling for a while. Billy pointed this out one day and spoke to Kurt Cobain about it. And he's talked about this in subsequent interviews, and you can find these interviews online of Billy Corgan speaking specifically about this topic. But basically, the chord structure to Smells Like Teen Spirit was taken from More Than a Feeling from Boston. Now, it sounds almost too weird to believe. And you go look for it yourself. And then Billy Corgan said he shared that with Kurt Cobain. And Kurt made a joke about it, and then at times when Nirvana would get ready to play Smells Like Teen Spirit, they would break into More Than a Feeling and then kind of morph into Smells Like Teen Spirit. Another interesting coinkydink here, Smashing Pumpkins had a EP where they did some covers. It's called Mashed Potatoes, and it is excellent if you can find it. They covered Godzilla, if you know the track. You listen to Smashing Pumpkins' version of Godzilla, it almost sounds exactly like Smells Like Teen Spirit guitar-wise. And again, that came out before. That came out in 90. Never mind, came out in 91. So you can see for yourself. And again, people are like, Steve, this is the Nirvana hate list. And maybe it is. I just thought it was interesting for us to talk about, because I think there are a lot of people out there, and as I've said, they don't understand why I don't like Nirvana. I think Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters is the only good thing to come from Nirvana. But some of these you look at and say, okay, well, I can kind of hear it. Some of these you listen to and you're like, holy smokes, this isn't even right. And I think in many respects, it may change your opinion. It's not to say that you're going to love Nirvana any less, but I think for some of you, you may have a little less respect for them. Hey, I enjoyed the music, but it's pretty clear they borrowed this from somebody else and then didn't credit them. And again, I think if you look up Nirvana copyright lawsuits, you're going to find some things. And again, the Killing Joke thing was the one that I had read that some time ago. I've read a ton about Nirvana, even though I don't like them. I respect their contributions to music. And of course, with Kurt being an addict and a guy that suffered with depression, I've read extensively about his life and Chris Cornell's life and Layne Staley. Then a lot, Andrew Wood. I have read extensively about those artists. It's kind of what I do in my spare time. I can't be sports 24/7, right? And so, even though I work for 247, so I just kind of point that out. These things are fascinating to me. Learning about music and kind of the songs behind, the stories behind the songs is fascinating to me, and to find out where things come from. And I remember being a kid in the 80s, listening to so many bands. And I was like, man, these guys are cool. And then I got into Aerosmith, and I began to realize how so many bands were influenced by Aerosmith. And the guys in Faster Pussycat are my friends, but it's pretty clear that Tommy Down was ripping off some Steven Tyler, right? And even in The Decline of Western Civilization, Part 2, The Metal Years, they asked Tommy about the scarves on his microphone stand. And he goes, yeah, I kind of ripped it off from Steven Tyler. Sorry, Steven. And some of that is in the music industry. I mean, every note's already been played before in the history of mankind, but not every riff, not every tempo. And so, again, I just thought we would be both educational and informative today with our top 10 list. We're going to come back with a different kind of Nirvana list on Friday, and then we'll complete Nirvana Week. And I think most of you will be happier about that. Those of you that love Nirvana will be happier about this one. I kind of joked with you on Monday, and then on Wednesday, I've kind of maybe poked some holes in the Nirvana sales. But on Friday, we'll do some different things. Okay, so you won't be mad at me on Friday. I'm going to be mad at myself, but you won't be mad at me on Friday. Thanks, as always, for your support of the Top 10 List. Best way to get us your suggestions is to hit up Roy on X at Dogmatic67. That's DawgMatic67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. Follow me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. At ScoutSteveR. If you're not following me, what are you doing with your life? Right? All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I have loved them for as long as I've known them, right? It's just nuts, man. And that's the thing, too. I didn't know a lot about Campus Bookmart before I moved to Starkville. And now I can't imagine going anywhere else where I need to pick up Mississippi State merch. I would encourage you to do the same. Campus Bookmart, amazing. If you can't make it to town and see their smiling faces, let me encourage you to visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. It's BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. It is 1 week until Christmas. You have 6 shopping days. You can still get your online orders in. But if you're in town, I would encourage you to come in town this weekend if you're already not planning to, and do some shopping and buy some real Mississippi State gear, because the folks at Campus Bookmart know what true maroon looks like. You don't want your family walking around in a crimson shirt that says Mississippi State on it. Nothing could be more embarrassing than that, right? Unless you're wearing Ole Miss apparel. That's another story for another day. But, we just had graduation weekend, too, and so maybe if you want to be the favored aunt or uncle or grandparent, maybe looking to get a diploma frame as well. Great selection of those as well. CampusBookmart.net, promo code BSR. All right, an interesting night in Mississippi State basketball last night. And it's always good, like when we get to twofer, right? And for many of you, you had a chance to watch the women play and then flip on over and watch the guys play. So we'll start with the ladies. Again, it's a game we expected to win against Louisiana Monroe. And not a lot of non-conference basketball left. We still got a few before we get into to conference play. But guys, the ladies are good. We're 11-1. And the long loss, of course, came on the road at Georgia Tech in a three-point game. It's always tough to go play a Power 5 team in their own backyard, no matter who you are or where you're from. But yeah, you had the big blowout at Chicago State, who's been terrible. And then you had the wild finish against Belmont. But State last night, 78-70 winners over the Lady Warhawks. They dropped to 3-6. And again, your Bulldogs now 11-1. Very tightly contested first half. State led by just one at the break, 38-37. And then in the third quarter, we began to get a little separation, but we couldn't just put them away. And it took a very, you know, exhausted fourth quarter for us to do that. We ended up winning 78-70. But, you know, that fourth quarter, there were some anxious moments. And there were times I thought, man, this game is a lot closer than I expected it to be. But again, you go on the road, it's a different dynamic. Guys, it was a 63-62 game right there at the the six-minute mark as we're approaching 6 minutes there. And down the stretch, State had to really play well defensively. And then also be in a situation, too, where, you know, we had to make some free throws. And we're a much better free throw shooting team on the women's side than we are the men. Ladies go by up as many as six, right under 3 minutes. Made a couple silly fouls, allowed them to score without the clock running, which is always important. You know, it's like you can just let people lose. You can't make silly plays. And I know you're trying to make that decisive play to get it away, but Denham DeShields with a big layup late to put State up six, right around 2 minutes there. And again, some free throws, you know, allows them again to put points on the board without losing clock. The clock is your friend when you have the lead. But State up three with just over a minute left, and then we found a way to kind of salt this thing away and win the ball game. And again, 11-1. And I think, you know, again, you're kind of finding out who you can trust, who you can count on, who needs minutes. You'd like to be able to empty the bench in these games. That wasn't the case. But again, I think it allows Sam Purcell, who I believe is a very good coach, the opportunity to kind of round into form here as we get ready for SEC play. But Jakayla Jordan, 23 points in the ballgame. Medina Okot with 15. DeBrescia Poe with 13. When you've got all three of them scoring double digits, we're going to be a difficult team to beat. Denham DeShields didn't exactly fill up the box score last night. He only attempted just four shots, but one of four, two of those beyond the arc. She missed both of those. But she did hand out six assists to go along with her 3 points. So, handful of baskets there responsible for. And, the bench scoring was pretty much spread throughout there. You know, we didn't have that one lady come off the bench. I mean, Destiny McFall played 31 minutes in the game and we scored 3 points. But a game where we won, or maybe we didn't play our absolute best. That's a mark of a good team. I mean, you want to be able to go in there if you're a great team and just take care of business. But when you win without playing your best basketball, you feel like, hey, maybe we're a little bit better than we think. So two non-conference games left. As I mentioned, on Friday, that's going to be an early tip. Friday, 11 a.m. So be sure and be ready for that. 11 a.m. against Maryland Eastern Shore. That's in Princess Anne, Maryland. Do you know much about Maryland? I don't. I've traveled this nation extensively. I have been through Maryland, but I have not spent a lot of time visiting Maryland. Maybe you guys have. Maybe you can tell us some great places to eat when we're out there. But again, this is a team. We've got to go on the road and play in their backyard, but they're 4-8 on the year. They've lost six games in a row. So it should be a chance for us to go out there and get some things done. Now, they're going to play they played Tuesday night against Virginia and lost 80-64 out in Charlottesville. To extend the losing streak now to six games. But I give them credit. I mean, they played Arizona State, played Illinois. They have been very aggressive in their non-conference scheduling, so they'll be somewhat battle-tested. But you know, not a lot of very competitive games. You know, the wins have been competitive for the most part. The losses have not been. And I suspect that's going to be the case when we get together with them on Friday morning. Bulldogs will be back in action before we get into SEC play. And we look forward to hosting you here in Starkville on December 29th at Sunday, 2 p.m. tip against South Carolina State. We'll talk more about that game on Friday. But again, just two non-conference games left, and we feel like State should be 13-1 as we get ready to go to Lexington. And we're going to find out a whole lot about our team the first couple of weeks of SEC play. Got to go to Kentucky, a place that even some of our better teams have come home with a loss. And remember how crazy that game was last year? And then we host South Carolina January 5th. That's a Sunday. So be thinking about that. That's going to be a wild environment. We need everybody there. The dead period for football will be exhausted that day too. And then we're going to host number 10, Oklahoma. And then we'll go to Georgia, a place that at times has been a difficult place to play, not just for Mississippi State, but for everybody. And so, again, the first 2 weeks, we're going to find out a lot about this team. Now, switching over to the men's side here, okay, and I'll tell you that, guys, this. Listen, Dave Murray talked about this today, that the net goes up for us by playing the neutral court game. But we got to do something about this Jackson thing. And I know we've got a lot of donors in Central Mississippi, and we love to be able to go play in the Coliseum. I know they're trying to put some money into it and kind of upgrade it. But, guys, people have got to turn out and watch this game. The attendance of that game was abysmal. And, you know, we did our best trying to push some tickets late, but I think people have kind of made up their mind, I'm not going to go to the game. Guys, I've never, ever, ever felt unsafe at the Coliseum at any point in my life. Never. But there are some people, there's just anti-Jackson fatigue. Yeah, I talked to some of our book vendors down there, and they're experiencing it too. There's just a lot of people that would rather, you know, shop online than make their trips down into Jackson proper. But Bulldogs pretty much had control of this game after the first few minutes. You know, Central Michigan gets up 7-1. It kind of woke us up a little bit. At the break, State leaves 32-25. And then in the second half, we just absolutely took over. I thought the defensive effort the first 10 minutes of that second half were really a difference. And I was watching this with my brother-in-law, and I turned to William and I said, hey, this game is over. It's just going to be a matter of what the final score was. State wins 83-59. Central Michigan, fire up chips. They dropped to 5-5. Bulldogs now 10-1 on the year. And looking at the Mississippi State side of things, Claude Harris got hot early. And the three-point shooting, that was the big part of the game when State began to get separation. And it was Claude Harris kind of carrying that for us. 24 minutes of action, 19 points, 5 of 8 from beyond the arc, and 7 of 13 from the field. Pulled down 4 rebounds as well. Also had a couple of steals and handed out an assist. Did not turn the basketball over. Michael Nwoka, big game for him. You talk about efficiency. 18 minutes of action, 8 of 12 from the floor. Knocked down a couple free throws in 3 attempts, 7 rebounds. Did commit a couple personal fouls. Turned it over once. Had a block and then 18 points. We're going to win a lot of games when we're getting that kind of stat line from him. Josh Hubbard, not one of his better nights. And we talked about it being the Hub homecoming. 34 minutes for him. Josh, 4 of 15, and he is sometimes a volume shooter. But 3 of 12 from beyond the arc, pulled down 3 defensive rebounds in the ballgame, dished out 3 assists, no turnovers. It's ridiculous how well he is playing in that respect. Also had a block in the game, but 11 points. And it's great when you can win going away and Josh Hubbard not lead you in scoring. We're so much more than a one-man gang. And I still begin to really like R.J. Melendez. I think this guy is a glue guy for us. He does a lot of the little things that don't always show up on a scoreboard or in his personal box score, but he does a lot of things to help this team go. Just 6 points on the night, pulled down 4 rebounds, played excellent defense. I really think he's going to be a great guy for us. Had 3 steals on the night, 2 and a block. You know, he's a guy that plays on both ends. He's never going to be the leading scorer for any extended period of time, but he's a guy that's going to give you great effort. Cam Matthews, 30 minutes of action and didn't score, but did get 10 rebounds. Handed out 7 assists, a couple of steals too. So Cam, not even converting at the line, just 0-4 there. But again, if I told you Cam Matthews didn't score and played extensively, you would think, you know what, maybe we were in trouble. But no, we win this game going away. Riley Kugel off the bench with 9 points. Keyshawn Murphy, a little bit quieter here as of late, but you know what you got with Keyshawn. 25 minutes of action, just 6 points for him. Sean Jones, again, another defensive specialist in many respects. Got a little foul trouble, but 3 of 5 from the field and 6 points. Also had a steal in the game. But a lot of people got to play in this game. We emptied the bench out and let a lot of people get some playing time. You know, some big games coming up for Mississippi State, obviously. And this team is fun to watch. And this team is easy to like. And that hadn't always been the case in recent years. One thing I got, the Ben Howland teams, at times they just weren't likable. And I don't mean that individually, but like it was not a lot of fun to watch them play. Now, for those of you in the greater Memphis area in North Mississippi, if you're not going to be in the greater Starkville area shopping on Saturday, we need you to be in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, this game is going to be on CBS. It's 11:30 tip. Big, big day on the network for sure. And this is going to be a big test for Mississippi State. It's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be close to an SEC environment in there. They're going to love the fact that an SEC team is coming to their neck of the woods, and they're going to see this as a resume-building opportunity. We need to view it the same way, and I'm sure we will. But this Memphis team, good team. We'll talk about them a little more on Friday. But when you go back and look, you know, their scheduling has been pretty aggressive. Really has been. Of course, they picked up a big win over UConn, who was ranked second in the country at the time, in overtime in the Maui Invitational. And so this is a team that's going to be battle-tested. And you look at it and say, Steve, they've got some quality wins. They also have like a loss to Arkansas State. You just kind of never know which team is going to show up. Now, if you want to watch them tonight to kind of do some advanced scouting for yourself, they're going to play at Virginia on ESPN2. And so maybe you can kind of tune in and check that thing out. The game at the FedEx Forum. And, you know, again, it's a great place to go watch a basketball game. And so, again, if you're on the fence about what to do this weekend, the Bulldogs need you to be in Memphis. And that's the thing, too, with an early tip. You get up, get to the game, and then you can go maybe have a nice dinner somewhere, an early dinner somewhere around the greater Memphis area. Maybe you stop in South Haven, Hernando. I don't know your needs, but there are some great places to eat up there. And so we feel good about where we're headed with this men's basketball team. But I think, again, we're gonna find out a little bit about ourselves this weekend. And this is one of those games when the schedule came out, everybody kind of looked at it and said, yeah, that's when we got to go get Penny. Maybe we bring Tyra Banks with us to distract them. But, again, not a lot of non-conference basketball left. We'll play against Memphis and then back home in Starkville on December 30th. It's a Monday. So if you're thinking about maybe using some vacation time, you can come up, watch the women on the 29th against South Carolina State, and then the men will play Monday evening against Bethune-Cookman. And that will close out the non-conference portion of the schedule as we get ready to go into SEC play. And I actually think that we have a chance to get out of the gate in the SEC on the men's side. And maybe it's a little more difficult on the women's side. You know, South Carolina coming in here, that's a team that's kind of been a contemporary of ours. That's a game that, you know, I think we're going to look at and say, you know, we should win this game. You got to go to Vanderbilt, and you never know what's going to happen up there. And then Kentucky comes in here. You know, Mark Pope's going to bring that team in here, and then we got to go to Auburn, which is always difficult. It is. You know, Bruce Pearl, those guys have been really, really good. They absolutely annihilated Ohio State the other night in Atlanta. So, again, enjoy this non-conference stuff, but we're going to really find out. You know, we're going to separate the wheat from the tares here in a couple weeks once we get into January. So be sure that you come out and support the Bulldogs whenever you can, especially when we come to your neck of the woods. You know, I always tell people, pack the car, make some memories with the kids. You're kind of, laying the groundwork for them to be a future Bulldog student and donor and season ticket holder. I think it's a great thing, you know, and as I shared opening the show, some of my greatest memories were sitting around shelling peas with my dad and listening to Jim Ellis on the baseball broadcast. But whenever we'd pack the car and take a trip, man, I couldn't do anything. Like, if we're going to watch State play a football or baseball game on Saturday, there was no point in me going to school on Friday because I was going to be so incredibly distracted about Saturday. You live for days like that. You do. When you're a kid, you live to know that, hey, I'm going to get to go watch Josh Hubbard play. Or I'm going to get to watch Jake Mangum play. You love those days, man. And you need to be the person in your family that kind of leads that environmental, educational, entertaining experience. Go out and check them out as soon as you can. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the ideal place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. Doesn't matter if it's a work group, a couples group, a family group. Whatever you're looking to do, they can accommodate you at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And when you do, their Facebook page will pop up and you can peruse the amenities that are available to you at that fine establishment. It's the old renovated clubhouse. We're going to be there in a couple of weeks. We can't wait. Can't wait. I've been there before. I had some friends that stayed there. I've toured the property. It's great. Amazing living area. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the amazing back porch area. I can't oversell that. So much room for everybody to just kind of spread out and enjoy being outside and watching the sunset. Got that fire pit area. Conversations around a fire are just more meaningful. I don't make the rules. I just enforce them, right? So 5, soon to be 6 bedrooms, 2 baths. Now, when you Google it, check out the pictures, but you're going to see some booking options pop up, right? Well, that's going to be Airbnb VRBO, but if you want to save some money, you can book through the Evolve website by using promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. Maybe y'all got it better than me. Maybe you don't need a promo code. I love promo codes. I love discounts. I take them wherever I can get them. I work hard for my money. I don't want to give any away if I don't have to. So book through them. You'd be glad you did. Be the leader within your friend or family group, and you go ahead and start making the plans for this. They book all throughout the year. It's not just a weekend excursion. You got some vacation time you need to spend, or maybe you just want to take a break and come enjoy Starkville in the midweek. Yeah, come up here and be with us and be our neighbors. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, so incredibly convenient. Whether it's a ballgame weekend or just whatever, you know, you're in town, come enjoy Starkville. You can stay at a fine establishment. Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. All right. updated some baseball news yesterday over at jeanspage.com. You know, there's always a few guys that, you know, you hate to say it this way, but the reality of it is they don't make the cut, you know, once you get through fall baseball. And some of that, too, you have some guys, too, that maybe were a little bit banged up in high school, and they're not quite at peak athletic performance and may need a year in JUCO to kind of get it figured out. I mean, it's pretty rare that a guy leaves and goes to JUCO and comes back. But it has happened before. But, yeah, we had a handful of 2024 signees that will be headed to JUCO. Connor Barth is one of them. That's one of those that surprised me. Really good with the bat. You know, defensively, still had a ways to go. But that's how freshmen are, you know. But we're in a day and time now where you just simply, if you don't expect them to contribute the first 2 years, you got to make a move. You know, and you're starting to see smaller recruiting classes kind of for that reason. You know, and you got more guys going to school, it seems, than ever before. And so there's cuts. And then think about this. The roster goes down, the squad size goes from 40 to 34. I don't think that's good for the game. I don't think it's good for the player. I don't think it's good for the development of those players or those programs. You know, we talk all the time about we're so student-athlete conscious. I think when you're reducing the roster size, especially on the pitching side, it's more guys having to eat up more innings. You know, you think about it, hey, you got a couple of freshmen, you got a bit of a laugher of a midweek game, you can throw those guys in there and save some wear and tear on some of your other arms, but also, too, give them the benefit of getting some college experience. Well, the NCAA and this new squad size are kind of eliminating that. You know, what would you do with 6 more players? And again, when you go back and kind of look at what we've had happen here, we've had 8 guys that have left the program. Will Passo goes into the portal, but we've had 6 others that left the program. Well, if the squad size is 40, we don't have to do that. Right? I mean, Connor Barth and those guys are still here, you know, or at least you would expect so. But, you know, you've got to make difficult decisions. And listen, I get it. I'm excited that they're going to allow, you know, more financial aid for these equivalency sports. You know, it's all getting so incredibly expensive. I don't know how it all is going to be paid for. There are a lot of people that think we should go to privatization where, you know, people buy the naming rights to Duty Noble Field or the naming rights to Davis-Wade Stadium or Humphrey Coliseum, and there's an influx of cash there. And then there's people that think that there should be private ownership groups that, like, own Mississippi State football. Yeah, think about that for a second. You have, like, an owner. And then there'd be like a salary cap. It'd be just like the NFL. There are some people that are proponents of that model. That Greg Sankey is totally against it because you lose control, right? People forget sometimes you're student athletes. There are other people out there that say, you know what, Steve, college athletes is big business, and it is. And so some things are going to change. I don't know when they're going to change, but as I kind of ranted a couple times this week, we're not going to do it now because I don't want it to be a fatigue type thing, but you know, we are facing some unprecedented circumstances in college athletics right now, and it's never been more prevalent than it is in football right now. You talk to kids and say, yeah, I'm going to visit Mississippi State on Thursday, and then you follow up with them Wednesday night or Thursday morning. I was like, oh, no, that visit got canceled. Not that I canceled it or not that, hey, I decided to visit, you know, South Carolina instead. The visit got canceled. So it's a completely different scenario than what we've grown accustomed to. And we're going to have to adjust with it. But I believe, you know, the governorship of college athletics is going to have to make some changes to protect the institutions a bit more. We have become too student-athlete conscious, if you ask me. And I've always been in favor of what's best for the student-athlete. And I don't know if the current model is what's best for them long-term. But the reality of it is there's a lot of people right now that are getting very well compensated for their abilities. And we've got some other players out there, kind of average players, that you're making quite an investment in. And it's going to take some getting used to. It's like it's so interesting. Like nowadays when I do recruiting updates on the board, I was like, hey, this guy is only going to visit the schools that are willing to meet his asking price. Well, it's always kind of been that way. But we've never publicly talked about it because it hadn't been legal. And I remember not too terribly long ago, you know, when, you know, people would say, well, they got mom a job, or they gave this kid a car, or this kid got $10,000 and a red Nike backpack to sign. You almost wish we could go back to those days. It's crazy, right? It's nuts. To think the guys would sign for $10,000 and now you got guys getting tens of thousands of dollars a month legally. It's different. And I know many of you are like, Steve, I just don't know what to cheer for. And I just remind you, cheer for the logo. You love Mississippi State. Maybe you don't want to know how the sausage is made. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just, even though it's all above board these days, or 90% of it is, you know, you can go out and you can compensate student athletes. And so many of these players, you know, of course, are kind of going to the highest bidder. It's not about relationships or academic fit or anything like that. It's like, hey, I can live like a king here for a year or two, and I'll figure the rest of it out later. So, I just encourage you, pull for Mississippi State. Cheer for Mississippi State. And whoever shows up out there on Saturdays wearing their maroon and white, you cheer for them too. And maybe you don't go buy their jersey, but you cheer for them because you buy that jersey, it could be obsolete in 6 months. So, and not to sound depressive about all this, I mean, you know, hey, it's good for our business. I mean, I think our portal coverage is just unsurpassed. We have people within the industry like, dude, you guys have so much. We work exceptionally hard at that. We'd encourage you to come be a part of that over at jeanspage.com. You can get the annual subscription at 50% off and come join our merry band of misfits over there. Nobody's going to outwork us. I mean, there are a lot of people that may out-talk us. They're not going to outwork us. And so I put that out there just because of the fact that, you know, we have a lot of pride in what we do. We take a large amount of passion. We're all Bulldogs too, you know, and that's we're Mississippi State all the time. That's all we do is cover and write and talk about Mississippi State. You know, we're not out there doing other things. You know, I'm not, you know, writing a piece for the, you know, the Jackson Daily News or anything like that. That's just not what we're doing. You know, we're just working. All the content that we create goes to Mississippi State and goes on jeanspage.com. So come be a part of that, and we encourage you to come sign up soon because that special is going to end shortly after the turn of the year. So 50% off. And I know many of you are like, Steve, I just want to know about these players. You know, I want to know what's happening next. Well, if you want to be the best informed Mississippi State fan of your circle of friends, you need to have a subscription to jeanspage.com. Even Gene the other day hit me up and says, it's incredible the amount of content you guys are getting. And again, when you've been doing this as long as I have, you put together a pretty interesting group of sources. You know, you find out who you can trust when you've been doing it as long as I have. And that's not to say that I hadn't had some people in the past that'll partially have some good information, but ultimately come to let me down, and you're only as good as your sources. And I believe at this point we probably had the best collection of sources we've ever had. And so there's occasionally we'll get beat on something, but again, we work exceptionally hard to keep you guys abreast of kind of what's going on and what's happening around Mississippi State athletics. Now, in less than 2 months, we're going to be on the baseball diamond, and I know you're looking forward to that too. It's so incredible too when you know, you look and you think about how quick the calendar goes these days. Like, if you're a Mississippi State fan, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you are. And you follow things on the message board at jeanspage.com, and you're engaged 24/7, 365 with Mississippi State. There's never been more coverage of Mississippi State. There's never been more information available at Mississippi State. So it is easier to be a Mississippi State fan in that respect than it has ever been. You know, we have so many people that say, I live out of state. I got to listen to the Boneyard. I got to subscribe to Gene's page to keep up with Mississippi State. But, you know, we used to have, like, off seasons, right? It's like, well, we get done with football, and then we wouldn't really get back together until around signing day, and then we didn't really know how good the kids were. We just had to take, like, Max Emfinger's word for it, and that proved to be a pretty dicey proposition at times. And then we wouldn't get back together again until baseball started, you know, at least here on campus, you know. And then, you know, we'd have some, obviously, that would come for the basketball games, but I know growing up as a kid, we spent more of our time going to those games in Jackson than we did in Starkville. But, you know, we've always been, and some people don't like to hear this because basketball is their favorite sport. We have not been a great basketball fan base historically unless we're winning big. And I think this team right now is worthy of your attendance and your support. You know, it's like when I wrote The Dude, I mean, I go back and, you know, after the Bilbo Purge and all the craziness that went along with that, we didn't even field a basketball team. We didn't even put on a court. The most inexpensive sport to play is basketball. As far as facilitating a game, right? You just get on a pair of, you know, t-shirt and shorts and some shoes and get out there and go to work. There's no equipment other than the basketball and the rim itself. So it's very inexpensive, and the infrastructure is already here. You already had, you know, a basketball arena, but we just didn't put a basketball team on the court. And it took a while to kind of rebuild. And, of course, when Babe McCarthy got here, things changed dramatically. But I think it's important to understand that we can change that. You know, we don't have to be just so fair-weathered about things. And, you know, I get into Facebook groups, and there are some people out there fighting the good fight. They really are. And I understand there's not always a lot of positive things. You know, when you go 2-10 in football, it's tough to get out there and say, yay, team, you know, or go, team. You know, it's tough. Because you're not going to have a lot of people joining you in that chorus. But when we have things that are happening on the portal side, like yesterday, and I'm not going to call this gentleman's name out because I don't want to single him out because that the sentiment that he shared is not exclusive to him. And so we get the Luke Kromenhock commitment, and immediately people are like, well, he's going to leave. I mean, the commitment's not even 5 minutes old. And you're like, oh, well, he'll be gone in a year. And then other people are like, well, we didn't really need a quarterback. We need defensive linemen. That's true too. But where are we as a fan base when we can't celebrate a new Bulldog? When we can't celebrate winning a huge recruiting battle for a quarterback? From a former five-star, and I've seen some people put out here that that it was the highest-rated quarterback in school history, and that's not true. I think you go back and look at Sawyer Robertson. You know, he didn't commit to us out of high school. Kromenhock didn't, and so it's kind of a It's kind of a bit of a contorted view to suggest that. But that's not to say we shouldn't be excited. But I think some of our fans are just so incredibly beaten down by the last couple of years. And then you throw all this NIL and transfer portal fatigue on it. What I would just recommend is that we kind of pick each other up. But we don't really gain anything. But when a young man announces his commitment to Mississippi State, there should be a celebration among our fans. There should be. Especially when it's a highly recruited and highly rated player at a position of need. And some people's initial reaction is to go pan it. We immediately get out there and we just get negative. And people act like I joke about this, but I mean it. I hope all your daughters and granddaughters marry and procreate with popular Mississippi State fans so we can breed this negativity out of the fan base. And I heard a guy say this years ago, and I found it to be true. We talk about, I don't really care what Ole Miss people think or say, and it's true too. But one thing that I admire about them, and there's not a lot, but this is one thing that I do, they believe what they have is the greatest. Like, they take a lot of pride. Of course, a lot of that's out of ignorance. Like, when they opened up their IPF, oh, we had the best in the country. We wasn't even the best in the conference. But they believed it. And when a guy comes to them, they're like, oh, he's going to be a great Rebel. He's going to be, you know, it's going to be great. It's going to make plays for us. And there is a positive nature in their side of things that I think is admirable. And I heard a guy say this one time, that the reason that he became an Ole Miss fan, he said he was a kid, and he went to the Egg Bowl for the very first time. And he was a mixed group, had some Ole Miss fans and some State fans, and State had the lead early. And the State fan was like, we're going to find a way to lose this game. And he turned to his Ole Miss buddy, and he's like, what do you think? He goes, oh, we'll find a way to come back. And it's incredible how both things worked out the way the people projected them to. Ole Miss wins the Egg Bowl. And he said, I just thought to myself then, I'd rather be around the people that believed they were going to do great things than those that didn't. We've got to change that perception. We've got to drive that mindset out of our fan base. And it all involves in how we all think. You know, there's some people out there, it's like the only way that they can get traction or engagement is to be overtly negative. And there are plenty of things to complain about these days. You know, I'm a firm believer in let's not feed the trolls. But the flip side of it is, if they're the only ones talking, then that sometimes that's the only voice that people hear. And I don't think that's the Mississippi State voice. Now, of course, when we win big, they come back. You know, they get back on the bandwagon and we welcome them back. We need every fan we can get. But I give you a good example. You know, it's just there was just something within the last 24 hours. Sent out a tweet, tagged a person that was involved, and then somebody responds, you know, with something negative, and then they're responding to the kid. It's like, oh, you know, I thought we could have done better, something along those lines. It's one thing for us to say that among ourselves, but then to go tag a kid on Twitter, and I'm not going to accept your ignorance as an excuse that you don't know how Twitter works. But what message does that send to that kid? The greatest day, a day of rejoice, because, hey, I went in the portal. I'm going to be in the SEC. Coach Lebby and those guys really want me. And then we have some fan that comes out there and says, I think we could have done better. Or words to that effect. And you tag the kid. What does that say about Mississippi State? More importantly, what does it say about you? But I think we all should have a greater responsibility in how we conduct ourselves in that respect. You know, and I see it all the time. People say, I'm just tired of people being so negative. There are plenty of things to be negative about. But I don't think getting a new commitment is one of them. That's one of the things we used to have a hard and fast rule over at Gene's page. Is that, you know, hey, you're not going to talk bad about a Mississippi State commitment. You want to talk about their quality of their play? That's one thing. But we're not going to let you talk bad about him. Oh, we shouldn't take this kid. He's a wasted scholarship, whatever. You know, I've become a little more patient with some of that, because I think that maybe I can educate and maybe reform some of that. But some people are just going to be negative all the time, and I've grown to accept that. There's some people that are so committed to who they are, they're never going to change, even if they're wrong. But I think the rest of you, the casual fan out there, we need as many positive voices as we can get when something good is happening. Right? We're not going to just pump sunshine when things are terrible. I don't believe in that either. But when we're having some recruiting success, that is a sign that things are moving in the right direction, and we should all celebrate that. All right, come float with us over at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can get buy one, get one free. Dial 662-268-7601. You can buy right over the phone and get a buy one, get one free. And many of you have neglected to shop, and you're looking for ways that you can do things efficiently because you're hard-pressed for time. Call Dana or contact her at the True Rest Float Spa of Starkville, Facebook or Instagram. Reach out to her and she'll get you guys lined up. Again, at 662-268-7601. We have sold a ton of buy one, get one frees, and that's a good last-minute gift. And maybe it's a situation, maybe it's a friend gift. Like, I've always wanted to do it, but I wanted to bring a friend with me, but it's just too expensive or whatever for me to pay for their float too. Well, you know, buy one, get one free. And maybe you have somebody in your life that's got anxiety or chronic pain. We may be able to help them too. What a great gift that would be, to give them the gift of rest, to give them an opportunity to get some relief. I can't imagine a better gift than that. When you've got somebody that is hurting and you give them the ability to go deal with that hurt, it just turns the day, the week, the month, perhaps the year around. You know, experience the joy of floating. And if you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can order. Again, it's about a week from Christmas, so chances are you need to buy your books in person. I'm going to be signing this Sunday at Book Martin Cafe downtown, the last signing before Christmas. And I wasn't going to do it, but I felt like Carolyn's like, hey, you going to come in for the final push? But I was like, okay, we'll do it. We'll get it done. So 11 to 3, Sunday in Starkville. You can still order online. And they've been shipping books out every day this week. And so, but I can't guarantee it's going to get there by Christmas, the way the Postal Service works right now. So chances are you need to go out and buy the books. I was at Lemuria yesterday. They sold out of the Dude on Monday. They got a couple more cases yesterday. Gumtree Books was sold out. They got a couple new cases. Book Martin Cafe downtown was down to one book. They got a couple more cases. And so, the book is selling out everywhere. It's very hot and very appreciative that the independent bookstores of Mississippi put Dude on the holiday books to shop for. And very grateful for that. But at dutynoblebook.com, you can find all of my sports titles and When the Bottom Falls. That book's been selling well again, which is great. Thank you so much. But we'll be back together. So our schedule next week, because I love you, I'm going to do a midweek show too. We'll probably do it on Tuesday because many of you will be busy on Wednesday, but you may be traveling on Wednesday or Tuesday after work on Christmas Eve. And so I'll do my best to give you the show on Tuesday. So we'll have the regular Monday show. We'll do Tuesday and come back on schedule. So you will not miss a show next week because I love you and I don't want you to be without the latest and greatest information about Mississippi State sports and athletics. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.